CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Hey, hello. Yeah, hi. My name is Ben. This is Sia.
This is he.
Yes, this is Vivali Malloy.
Hi.
And Amanda in the booth.
Good morning.
All right, so it's Monday. And as you can tell, Gareth's not here. He will be here at some stage. And when that happens, well, you'll know because you'll hear his voice. So, happy Monday all.
Whoa, wait a minute. He'll be here at some stage. Like what, he's spending another week in Amsterdam? You've got to be more specific than that.
I've also got to be more enthusiastic about it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I
think he might still be a bit on holiday mode, so hence why he was sort of running late this morning.
Oh, he overslept.
That's all it is.
Okay,
yes,
that's fine. That happens.
Especially after a holiday. I would still be sort of just snoozing away. But alas, it's fine.
Yeah. All right. So, how's your weekend, everyone?
Oh,
that good, Sia.
Yeah, I know.
That good. Wow.
It was. Do you know, because, you know, you often think about these things. And as I wake up, I was like, what am I going to tell them on the show this morning? And as I was replaying my entire weekend, I was like, I'm actually going to sound so annoying because I had such a restful weekend.
Well, that's good. Why is that annoying?
Why is that annoying?
Because, you know, for someone else who's just like, ugh. Blue Monday. Oh, here we go again. I'm just like, yes, I'm ready to go. It really felt, I have no cooking clue what it is.
What, did you just get more sleep? Did you drink less?
I don't know what it is.
Sex less, sex more?
It felt longer. It felt like so restful. I got to fit in so many different things. So good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that answers the sex
again,
question.
Again, you with levels. Quickly there. All
not
right.
Not even. But it's so good.
Well, did you get to fit in some different things too?
I'm far more interested to find out how Amanda's weekend was.
All right. Early pass of the buck there from Vivali Malloy.
I also spotted that as well.
I had a good weekend. Friday was really chill, but I can't believe it. Like, I went to bed at 7:15 Friday night.
What?
Did you pass
which
out?
Is not like me at all. So,
How do you go to bed at 7:15?
I went to bed because I was cross, Ben.
With who?
So, my nieces and nephews slept over. And, like, we have this DSTV where, like, we have three channels. I don't know how it works, but we have three DSTV channels or whatever. Only one DSTV channel was working, and then, like, Netflix is in the lounge. So my nieces and nephews were watching Netflix, and my dad was watching the one DSTV channel, which meant, like, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, dear.
So and then I was just like, no, I'm going to bed, you know. And then my mom came in at, like, 9, and I thought it was, like, 5 in the morning. Meanwhile, it was 9 o'clock. I was like, no, this is terrible. So I definitely won't go to bed that early ever again.
It's very disorientating because if you do actually manage to sleep, you sleep too much. Therefore, you're tired the next day.
Exactly.
I've proven this before.
The term sleep too much is blasphemous. So let's just cut it there.
Yeah.
There's no such.
And then you went to rugby on Saturday, right?
No, I chickened out. Something better came up, Ben.
Okay. Well, tell me what's better than the Springboks at this park because that was the highlight of my weekend.
I went to a Scottish party.
What the hell's a Scottish party?
They were band pops, which was too much. But everything else was good. It was amazing.
So it was Scotch-themed?
Yeah.
Were there people wearing kilts?
Yes, they were.
Oh, did they have underwear underneath the kilts?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Got to ask the important questions.
What do Scottish women wear?
I don't know. They were just wearing, like, you know, those kilt, like, skirts, but, like, really short and
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got to sex it up.
Okay, so wait, is this at someone's house? Is there a Scottish club out there?
No, it was at this, like, I don't know, a club. I forgive you,
I just haven't heard of a Scottish party around these parts for some time.
It was at this like club kind of venue thing called Scarlet Ribbon.
That sounds like a swingers club.
That does. It gives me
my marriage was fine until we started going to Scarlet Ribbon.
Mm.
Did you see John C there?
Yeah.
So no, it was really good. Yeah, my family was there, so I was also kind of behaving. But other than that, it was really good.
And what about your Australian cousin? Is she still in the country? Is she in Cape Town?
Oh, she comes back from Cape Town on Thursday, actually.
And have you been keeping much in contact with her? Because she came here to visit us, and then the plan was to go to Cape Town to meet her dad, who she hasn't seen in 12 years. And then, obviously, with her life being her life, obviously this hasn't just been a normal couple of like days with her dad.
No, I think she's met a boy.
Oh,
gosh. Yeah, she seems to be having a good time with him.
She collects them like stickers, these boys.
It's crazy. Like, really, it's crazy. So we'll see what happens when she gets back on Thursday. She's supposed to go back to this farm where she was working, but she decided she really loved Joburg, so she wants to stay here. And then she goes back to Australia in August, I think.
But lest we forget, she's how old?
19.
There we go. Zip and do it. Like, when else will you ever get the chance to? So, yes, she must stack them up, them high, and, like, she must pull a massive wagon with just, like, boys at her beck and call.
She tagged me in this photo, and because, you know, we call her extra. So, she said, the picture says, before you say I'm extra and too much, ask yourself, are you enough?
She's thrown it. She's thrown the ball back in your court, Amanda. What are you going to do?
I'm pretty sure that's what she says to all the boys before they drop trial as well.
Are you enough?
Yeah, so I went to the rugby on Saturday. It was so cool. Daniela got invited by some / supplier client kind of thing through work. And turned out that I actually knew the people, so I had friends there, and it was so cool. Like, you go on a bus, car bar so hard. Like, there's quite a bit of traffic on the way there, so cooler boxes, all kinds of things going on. And we're in a box. There was that plane that flew over. Like, Ellis Park is just the business.
Amazing.
It's just the best when it comes to rugby. And it was so fun. I didn't actually watch a single minute of the second half.
Because
like at half time you have food in the box,
were
and you go
taking
inside.
Shots, Ben?
Yeah, we were doing shots. There was like, you know, it was fancy when you're watching rugby out of like glass, you're drinking out of glass, okay? Mm-hmm. That shows you've already done well. But you're drinking craft beer out of a bottle or watching like the box right there. But the second half, the conversation was so good and everything was so fun. Like, none of us really watched the second half.
Sure.
One girl kind of passed out, but there's always a casualty.
What? Kind of or definitely?
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't looking good for her, so she didn't see any of the second half. She probably didn't see any of Saturday night. But but she was with the medic, she was fine. I just think far too many tequilas and too many push-ups, and then before you know it, you're just a mess.
Oh, no.
Well, we're playing drinking games that if you said a certain word, you have to do 10 push-ups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that's...
But how does 2 beers Ben survive an event like that?
I know, but on the weekend, I'm like 11 beers Ben. I'm fine.
11.
No, I had like... No, you know what? I stopped drinking at about a certain point where I felt like I was maybe...
spinning.
Let's call it 9 beers.
Shucks.
I had some tequila shots. And then you're home by like opposite 8, whatever it is.
And then you pass out.
Yeah.
No, then you watch The Crown and have some tea.
How?
Have some tea.
I don't understand.
Oh my gosh.
That show, The Crown, okay? So I finished the first season. And it's really good because obviously it's Queen Elizabeth, it's Philip... He's such a dick, by the way. He really is. And all he does, he just gets hammered with this friend of his, Mike, who may or may not be into him in more than a biblical sense. And it's such a good show. But then it kind of ends. So it's 10 episodes, I think it is. Yeah. But I'm kind of hoping that this series goes all the way through to like modern days. So I'm sure like any other couple out there, Daniela and I watch most shows with Google. So if you're watching something that's of a historical nature... You want to know, like, oh, what does that guy look like in real life? Or did this really happen? So you start Googling a variety of things. And this show is so brilliantly cast. Like, for a young Lizzie, her voice is just perfect. Her mannerisms, all that kind of stuff. Philip really is Philip, as I said last week. It's like an ugly Gordon Ramsay. and everything there, like, again, like the accents, it's just so, so good. So you think, if this can go through to like Princess Diana times, yeah, it would be really interesting, because Princess Diana was, she was the people's princess, right? But the queen and the rest and the corgis probably hated her, like, ah, oh, this wench, constantly getting the paparazzi going, because the whole thing with the paparazzi is that Princess Margaret wanted to get married to this guy, but she couldn't because the guy got divorced, and because of royal and church law, getting divorced like the worst thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, if that happens, then you... It can't happen. Like, the show starts with the king abdicating because he fell in love with a woman who was divorced. And you can't have that. So he was literally banished from the family.
Huh.
So to go to Princess Diana times would be very interesting, because Charles obviously grows up to be the next king. And then there's Diana, and everyone's like, oh, wow, what a great princess.
Uh-huh.
But then she's a little bit too human, you know. She doesn't quite stay in a box enough.
Well, it's interesting when you say you'd like to see how it goes into modern times, because a couple of weeks ago, the palace actually announced that they accept Meghan Markle, who's the girlfriend from Suits, who's dating Prince Harry.
Yes.
And given that she's been divorced.
Exactly.
And
so the
also,
queen will not probably go to this wedding or get her a gift.
Well, they say they accept her, and I wonder to what extent. And you wonder, like, really, are we really still listening to you guys trying to be presumptuous over the rest of us? But yeah, the queen accepts her, even though she's been divorced, and even though, like, her family is quite a mess. Like, her parents herself are also divorced, Meghan's parents. Her mother is this hippie yoga instructor. And his dad was, like, down and out. And I don't know, was involved in some drug or fraud scandals back in the day. And now just lives in Mexico or somewhere arbitrary.
But then, obviously, the royal spokesperson said, but we are all fans of Suits, and therefore she passes.
Hey, they requesting extra security for her and for everyone to respect their relationship. So it kind of seems like it's serious.
But you do make a good point, though, when you say that, I mean, of all people, the royal family has no business casting judgment on anyone. I mean, they are descended from a line of people who viewed incest as completely normal. They were sleeping with each other, marrying first cousins.
I mean, Mabali, to be fair, everyone was doing it back then. They were just very well known.
Oh, yeah, because everyone was doing it, that means it's right.
You are in no position to hold any kind of moral high ground.
I think ultimately we all live in glass houses. But it comes back to this whole Princess Margaret thing, right? There was the Royal Marriage Act or something or other. So basically, you couldn't just go and get married. Parliament would decide upon your certain suitor if he was relevant or applicable. So because of this whole divorce thing, even though that group Captain Townsend, or whatever his name is, because he was in the Navy, in the Air Force, so he was like a handsome, dashing gent who was in the war, and because him and his wife became estranged and then became divorced, he was basically soiled goods. So that was it. And so there was a big rift between the two sisters, Margaret and then Lizzie, of course.
Yeah.
Lilibet, as her real name is.
Really?
Yeah. So it's fascinating how the show boils down to, and if you don't like this, I do apologize, but it's a really interesting show because of how these people created this life, because that's the thing about the royals. They weren't shot out of lightning. They were ordinary people pooing in the field just like anyone else back in a certain day, right?
They just claimed land.
They sort of brought themselves to this position, but they still lived in the balance of Parliament deciding things they can do and the church deciding what they can do. So they couldn't just marry. So the fact that Harry can go out and get shit-faced most weekends and now potentially somehow maybe marry this woman whose parents are also all over the place, maybe that's progress. But I reckon the Queen's going to have none of it.
Hey, listen, I think the palace needs a little chocolatey something, you know? So Meghan and Harry can have some swirly babies. I'm down with that. But part of my weekend, you know, when I said
swirly,
like,
swirly ginger babies. I mean, Harry's really throwing a lot into the
pick.
We're
down with the swirl here, you know? He'll be the Barack Obama of the palace. The reason, you know, I even said it feels like I had such a long weekend is because I also did a lot of TV watching. And a lot of catching up on different things. And for me, I always love biographical stuff and documentaries. So I actually watched Our Queen at 90, which was actually a documentary on Queen Elizabeth, which was released for her 90th birthday.
She's all over the place right now, isn't she?
But listen, that was the biggest, like, oh, kiss fest and schmooze fest just for the Queen. You had everyone there. Camilla was on there. William and Kate were there. Harry were there. Just, you know, singing her praises to no end. I was actually like, this is what a disgusting life it is to just say, oh, you should see how she is with the horses. It's amazing. So just like.
But it is kind of amazing.
It's ridiculous.
How,
again, it's ridiculous.
I watch this show. You know, like when you watch Game of Thrones, right? Mm. It's fantasy. So there's dragons and there's all kinds of other things that like your childish inner being can't like let go of. But this is just people. And you're thinking, why am I so completely engaged in this?
But I have to say as well, something that that struck me oddly with envy was the fact that everyone has titles. You know, ordinarily we just call this, oh, okay, this is my random cousin, don't really talk to her. But even the random cousin has an awesome title. So, you know, the perk of being royalty. I finally watched that Michael Jackson biopic that we spoke about a few weeks ago.
Oh, right.
You know, because yesterday, the 25th of June, was the day Michael Jackson passed away back in 2009. Mm-hmm. So Lifetime aired that. And listen, we spoke about it. We said it was getting great reviews. If you have, you know, if you want a little moment in your day, like, okay, some looking back moments, I definitely recommend that. All the reviews did not do it justice because I actually sat there. There I was in my little blanket and my popcorn.
Your blanket.
Please don't tell me you cried.
I didn't cry, but I did.
Would you be surprised?
I did not cry, but I did have empathy.
Okay, and how white did his children look? Like extra. I mean, it was well cast. The whitest people in the cast.
That movie was so well cast. Firstly, okay, Navi, the Michael Jackson impersonator, spot on. Something that I'm surprised didn't get enough traction was the fact that Nondumiso Tembe, who's a South African actress, is actually starring in the movie as well. Oh. So kudos on her. She stars as the kids' nannies. But the funny thing is, you know, the kids were so spot on for the sake that, you know, they were using child actors who were at the oldest, probably 12 years old. The youngest, Blanket, who we always make fun of being the Latino looking one. Dude, I kid you not, they chose a Latino actor as Blanket.
I totally forgot that Blanket was the Latino one.
Yeah, the youngest one, yes. And it's obviously a Latino actor because also in the short little dialogue that the youngest Blanket had, the actor had this blatant Latino accent, and I'm like, come on, they could have schooled the kid in just a slight American dialect. So,
well, I mean, the creators of that show had obviously been listening to us here on Cliff Central, and they took their cue from us.
It was so funny.
We are happy to heal the world.
The little kid would walk up and go, "Daddy, Daddy, I want some ice cream," and I'm like, "No, that is not how Blanket sounds." They did like a Catherine Jackson character, a Joe Jackson character as well. So it was all cool. But the reason why I say I have empathy now more so is because, you know, we're used to seeing celebrities get swamped out, you know, swamped by fans in public. But then you go like, oh my gosh, wait, hold up. This was a dude. He might have been slightly cuckoo, but he was a dude, you know, walking with his kids. And, you know, because the entire biopic is like from the perspective of the security guards who last spent the final years with Michael. And they made all these plans to go underground just to go shopping, and they close off stores and. But, you know, then those plans get derailed, and, you know, it's kind of a lot, and the kids cry and. But heck, I thought that was kind of cool.
But it is, yeah, you're right. And that's why these biopics get made, because there is a story to tell. And yeah. I don't think we'll ever see a story like Michael again. Because pop stars nowadays, they crash and burn and no one cares. But Michael was, I hate to say, like, sound nostalgic, but he really was the king of pop. Like, he was doing things to the industry which made the industry what it is. And nowadays, people just contribute and draw money from it. No one actually gives and builds it.
Yeah, and I think what was sad in Michael's case was, I think in his head, he was still stuck in the 80s. What I mean by that is, in his head, he was still a big deal. That's why he looked down upon the idea of performing in Vegas. Also coupled with the fact that he even admitted that, like, if he had to perform like Celine Dion, he would die just from that. because, you know, at least Celine is in a flowy dress and sings My Heart Will Go On. And there's an orchestra and there's an interlude and. But with the Michael Jackson show, he would have performed his heart out from beginning to end. So that wouldn't have been good for him.
But see, you know how difficult performance art is. I mean, when we finish this show, I mean, we have to have our own moments. Like, my body has to go somewhere else. We don't talk to each other. Like, it's tough. Can you imagine Michael Jackson? And for him, I suppose it was this constant fantasy because he was never a child, right? Mm. From the age of like 7, he was making money for those broke ass brothers of his who couldn't sing.
Yeah.
So he was out there. So he never got to be a child. So therefore, the fantasy of him being the superstar was his escape. So there's no way he could have. But it's almost like if you were an amazing chef, right? And you weren't about creating food, you were about creating masterpieces. For him, the Vegas show was like flipping burgers. And it would have broken his fantasy and it would have broken his spirit as who he is.
But he really was stuck in his own head, because another thing that the movie revealed was that he, you know, he chose never to go back to Neverland because that was like a bad experience or bad vibe for him.
Well, also, I think there was just lawsuits around him and children and stuff.
But he was eyeing out this $55 million mansion and he wanted to call that Wonderland. But the truth is he had no money. Well, the money was there, but tied up in everything because there was so much debt. And he wanted to buy that, but couldn't. So, yeah, that was some good Sunday watching. Also got to finally watch Malcolm X, which, you know, that was like the Spike Lee.
So, did you get any sunlight? Did you get any vitamin D going at all today?
There was so much going on this weekend. And it made me think back to like the good old 80s movies, which are like a 3-hour affair.
Yeah.
Like Malcolm X is 3 hours. Watch The Color Purple, which was more than 2 hours.
Did you watch The Color Purple as well?
I know. It made me tear up.
Well, it is Oprah.
Did anyone else get a chance at the TV this weekend? No.
But I did go out on I felt good and cool also on a little school night last night. Went to an awesome party at the Westcliff. So good innings, weekend done and dusted. Very
so,
well.
So, Mabali, who did you gag or murder that you wouldn't even say a word about your weekend?
Has nothing to say. Just a little drop of a something.
I mean, it was a fine weekend, guys.
Was it indoors or outdoors?
It was both. It was balanced.
Okay, I'll tell you what I deduced from that. Mabale met someone who was a secret sexer, as we were talking about on Friday's show. And they started off the weekend well. And then she got annoyed with him and then kicked him out yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it.
Hold on. If you did miss our discussion on secret sex on Friday, if you go into cliffcentral.com, because every day we have a little podlet, right? So
yes.
Amanda finds a part of the show which she throws out there as a podlet. So if you haven't got time maybe for a full hour or you just want to see what we're talking about, you can catch up on the podlets. And along with everything else in the show, so we've got Anthea, she's coming back today for the finance. You can find her on the site. My sport is on the site as well, cliffcentral.com. All kinds of things. But right now, we need the news, and the news today is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria on a Monday. Monday is a special day because it's 2-for-1 at Colcacchio. Buy any gourmet pizza, get the second one of a lesser value for free. You just have to go see this menu. It's just jam-packed, full of ingredients. It could be the Green Genie. It could be the Hollywood scene. Oh, there's just so many different other options here. Colcacchio 2-for-1. Eat in, eat out. Mabali Manoya, what's going on in the news?
All right, well, I'll begin with the story out of Pakistan, where a fuel tanker truck explosion killed at least 140 people. The truck had veered off the road when the driver lost control. And as the tanker sat on the side of the road, fuel began leaking out in large pools. So then what happened was that crowds started to gather around this tanker because they were trying to collect the fuel in pots. It is not known what the actual cause of the wreck to ignite is, but, you know, the people that had gathered at the scene began smoking cigarettes, some of them, according to reports. Others were using their cell phones to inform their friends and relatives of the crash so that they could come and collect the fuel. A former police official who now handles emergency and rescue operations revealed that sparking from cell phones could have ignited the fire, adding that the tanker was also fitted with batteries that could have sparked the blaze. The explosion happened on Sunday morning as hundreds of people from nearby villages had gathered around the scene to collect the fuel, and then the blast engulfed everything around the truck, which has led to the death of at least 140 people.
Wow, 140 people.
just gone from one explosion.
Ugh.
Yikes. Sure. Yeah. And then just to bring it up back home, interesting reports coming out of the latest Gupta leaks. I suppose the Gupta leaks at this stage are like a series, a television series.
That's going to be a biopic soon.
Listen, man.
The Gupta gang.
I'll say it again. I hope that there are, you know, writers out there just making notes and paying attention to the potential story that could come out of South African politics for a movie. So according to the EFF, their leader is being spied on by the Gupta family. The party says that the family has access to Julius Malema's travel itinerary, as well as his ID number, including the details of other members of parliament. Now, this came out at the same time that the Sunday Times also reported that leaked documents have revealed that the Gupta family have apparently been spying on some of South Africa's top banking bosses as well as their families.
What?
Yeah. The EFF says that most of the trips which were made by Julius Malema have been reported in the media. They were never publicly announced. The Red Beret said that they clearly obtained this information from both the Home Affairs and State Security departments. Malema's party said that, yes, they are aware that the controversial business family possess spying equipment, which was apparently purchased from Russia and brought illegally into the country.
You can't even, like, make this stuff up now. But, like, when did these guys get prosecuted? Or, like it's just... I feel like there's so many questions just like anyone else, and there's no answer here.
Well, I mean, I keep going back to what Justice said when I asked him a similar question is, who is going to prosecute this family? First of all, you go to the police to report them. The Minister of Police, Figile Mbalula, do you think he's going to allow any kind of evidence to be collected? Then there's the National Prosecuting Authority, which is headed by who? Shaun the Sheep. Is he going to allow any kind of prosecution to happen?
So it's just like a bad movie, and it's just getting worse, but you can't stop watching it.
Now, just to give you more background information with regards to alleged banks in the country that have also been investigated by the Gupta family. Apparently, the family began investigating South African banks after many of them closed their doors to the family's accounts, citing suspicions of money laundering. The Sunday Times also reported that it had information that the family is in possession of a spreadsheet which details sensitive information, including travel itineraries of banking bosses dating back to 2015. Can you imagine what it must feel like to discover that somebody has been spying on you since 2015? That's well over 2 years.
Well, like, you got to hand to the Russians. They obviously sold them some very good surveillance equipment.
Allegedly,
if you can do this for allegedly for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive, but also scary as hell. And then in addition to Julius Malema being investigated by the Guptas, the EFF are also convinced that beyond the Guptas, it is also the state that is actually spying on the CIC, on him, on members of parliament, on the banking bosses, on God knows who, according to the EFF.
And who is a proven spy on all of this?
Who?
Number one. Jacob Zuma likes
a
spy game.
That's right.
He's good at that.
He does have some spying history.
He plays I Spy more than anyone.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep. Hi, Gareth. How are you doing today?
Hey, morning, everybody.
Look at that.
You don't, I landed yesterday morning and, I went to sleep early last night and obviously just didn't have enough sleep. So woke up when my alarm was going 5:45 and thought, oh Jesus, what a way to start. But just on this Gupta story, what's scary is that they are clearly able to access the state security, police, home affairs, all that kind of thing. Like it's their pet. You know, it's not like they hired a private investigator to go and look after, you know, follow Julius around, dig around and find out what his travel movements are. They're using state security stuff. And if that's the case, I hate them even more. I mean, they're using our resources that are meant to be used for the security of the country to pursue their own political enemies. It's insane.
Yeah, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi was saying that they're almost sure that Julius's phone is tapped. His phone line.
So that's
the level of spying that we're talking about. His conversations are being listened in on.
This is probably why they didn't pay Mark Stopforth for the golf simulator, because all the surveillance stuff arrived. So they're like, we'll play with this rather. It's way better.
This family even allowed to walk the streets. I mean, we really should be chasing them out with pitchforks.
I so agree. It's like, this isn't exactly a smoke fire kind of situation. There is a burning blaze of dodginess.
Anyway, I have presents for everybody just now.
Yay. All right. Well, I'll have more news after 7.
All right. The news today brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. It is Monday. Gareth, you've been out of the country, so time to cash in on the 2-for-1 deal.
Yes,
buy any gourmet pizza, get the second one of a lesser value for free. And now into the sports. And as a friend of mine said on social media yesterday, South Africans used to watch Carte Blanche to get depressed. Now they just watch the Proteas.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, they took another loss. Look, Friday was a very spirited comeback in the T20 series. They managed a very narrow 3-run win over England. And then England, trailing South Africa before the start of the match, they rested their captain and they rested their best batsman. So they went in with the weakest team they possibly had because they wanted bloodsome youngsters, and they still hammered South Africa yesterday. Oh, it was just terrible. There were some decent performances. Patterson bowled bloody well. Mosekle and Petlo Kwaya, they batted well towards the end, but, you know, the usual story. Miller just absolutely buggered it up. Bayardin offered very little, and then AB just with a fleeting 20-something ball, something. Ugh, I can't even talk about this because they lost. The important thing is, though, the Lady Proteas. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
The Lady Proteas.
Are they also called the Proteas?
Well,
it's very confusing if they did that.
I mean, I should probably research this better, but the Lady Proteas. The
Proteas. It's a banyana banyana option.
The SA women cricketers, they were bloody good though. So they beat Pakistan. They tried so hard to choke it up in the middle. There were 3 runouts, and we're all thinking, oh gosh, they're just like the men. But they held firm. So they won their first match, and this is the Lady Cricket World Cup, or the World Cup for women. I don't know. Let's just call it the Cricket World Cup for now, right? Because there's no other one.
Okay.
Sounds so patronizing saying the lady this and woman that. So that was a good result. So go on, the Proteas female team.
God, you really struggle with this, huh?
Maybe we should ask Cass Knight.
You've just come up with every possible permutation of how this can be figured out.
I'm gonna
ask, they play cricket and they are women.
Yes.
Therefore,
yes.
Let's figure out different ways to
All I'm getting as well is just the Proteas. They're called the South African Women's National Cricket Team.
The South African Women's National Cricket Team won the first match of the Cricket World Cup for the women. And in the big news for the weekend, and we can't skirt it, was the Boxer just really, really good. So even though it wasn't their best performance at Ellis Park, the French obviously were quite scrappy. Warren Whiteley had to pull out of the match prior to it because he had a groin injury, which is aggravated during the week. So Ibn Etzebeth, he took the captaincy and with that played one of his greatest games in the Bok jersey. And well, the Boxer were never going to lose this match. Everyone was hoping it'd be a more handsome affair points wise, but it wasn't. But still, a 3-0 win against the French. A French team that was hardly terrible. Not the greatest, but still, they would have always been a great opposition for us. And it really does feel like this Bok team has turned the corner. Not to the point though, as Zelda Lakhanji was saying, oh, all you people who were so negative by the Boks last year, how do you feel now? Well, Zelda, you clearly don't watch that much, right? Because last year they were shit and they deserved every bit of criticism they got. But this year, there's things in place. There's a good coaching structure. The players seem to know what they're doing. And most importantly, and you'll hear this a lot, is that the players are really playing for each other at the moment. And it really is nice to see. It's just so, so positive. And I'm so excited for Rugby Championship. As expected, the All Blacks beat the British and Irish Lions. The British and Irish Lions came out very, very, very spirited, as you would expect. They almost scored a try early on. But then, as New Zealand always do, it's a bit like wrestling a python in a cupboard. You think you're in the game, but ultimately you're going nowhere. And the final score there was 30-15, which is kind of flattering towards the Lions because they did score 7 points after the hooter. And then the Aussies, well, they beat Italy 40-27, but it was 28-27 with 4 minutes to go. And Captain Stephen Moore says, well, basically, this team is not fit enough for Test rugby. And while he was saying that, the actual coach said, we can maybe surprise the All Blacks. So if you ever talk about a bipolar team or a team that just seemed to be completely out of touch with each other, there you have it. In Formula One news, Daniel Ricciardo won at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix in Baku. Now, this was a very, very dramatic.
In where?
Baku.
Okay.
Azerbaijan.
I'll need my map out.
It's
later.
Near Iran.
Thank you.
Ricciardo, who drives for the Red Bulls, the Red Bull team, it was more about the other guys cocking up that allowed him to win. So Vettel and Hamilton were having a bit of a fight, and then they actually had this little collision, and then they were fighting each other. Then they both got time penalties, and there was debris all over the place. And eventually Ricciardo was like, well, I'll just do my own thing. And eventually he got through. And while Hamilton and Vettel were fighting each other, and Raikkonen's car was just fallen to pieces. He went and won it. And Bottas claimed a second position. And then some other guy who no one has ever, ever heard of, Stroll or someone, he got third. So it was very, very exciting. Valentino Rossi, he won the Dutch MotoGP, which many of you say was a lot more exciting than Formula One. And I do tend to agree with that. And then in golf, well, Jordan Spieth, he, what an amazing result that was. He won the Travelers Championship. He's now won 10 PGA titles. He is the second youngest of all time to win 10 PGA titles. Sia, who was the first? The youngest person to ever win 10 the PGA titles. The
youngest person to win 10 PGA titles. What? Sebastian Vettel. Michael Schumacher.
I really thought we were past the stage where you would.
I suck at lip reading, Anthony.
Oh boy.
See, you did so well in that quiz as well. No, it was Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was the fastest. Okay, well, on the back of that, it's probably a good time to get to the finance. So, with no further delays or Sears, no interest whatsoever in actually listening to the sport or keeping up with it, let's get to Anthea. I would get to Anthea, but there's a slight delay. Here we go. So yeah, that was actually embarrassing for me.
I'm cringing.
Good morning, Anthea. Love to have you in studio on a Monday, as always.
Good morning, Ben.
I hope your weekend was as exciting as Sia's, maybe less exciting as Babali's.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I'm guessing somewhere in the middle. it was a good day on Friday, though. We had a nice positive day on the JSE.
Uh-huh.
Am I missing something? Is the music still playing?
Yeah, we had a moment there.
Right.
You singing, uncontrollable urge.
Okay, back to the market then. Okay. So on Friday, a nice positive day. The JSE closed 0.85% higher. Unfortunately, that just wasn't enough. Month to date, we are still down 5.5%. So basically, we've wiped out in the last month all the gains for the year practically. I know, that's how it starts. I mean, I really, the one thing or two things I think we absolutely need is political and economic stability. If we don't get that, this market is just going to keep going down and down. The Rand is now 12.91 or around there on Friday, which really hasn't helped. The Rand hedges all softer on the day. Resources had a stunning day, though. So Lonmin was up 4%. But, I mean, I'm not sure we even watch Lonmin anymore. You know, we're so worried about this company going bust and how volatile it is. That's probably not a good indicator. So Impala Platinum and Amplats were up between 2 and 3.5%. So that's probably a better indicator of what happened with resources. I was surprised we had such a positive day. European markets were all much lower on the day on Friday. US closed slightly higher, and I see Asia's quite a bit higher this morning. So probably we should have a positive close if we follow global markets. There's a lot going on, though, from a kind of a very macro point of view at the moment. I think the big thing is probably oil. Mm-hmm. It just keeps falling. And I was reading an article this weekend that said, actually, shale producers, because of the advances in technology, can now actually produce, maybe not profitably, but at least at break even, at $40 a barrel.
Wow.
Whereas before, exactly, whereas
that's pretty
before,
good.
It was $50 a
yeah,
barrel.
Yeah, I remember that was the threshold, right?
And that was when oil got to 50, you'd see it come back down because the shale producers would come online because there was more supply in the market. But now to bring that down to 40, I think this is just a case for lower oil prices globally continually going forward. I mean, it is interesting to note, though, that the OPEC's production cuts haven't helped. You know, I told you last week, Nigeria and Libya still producing as much as they were because they don't have to obey OPEC's rules and regulations. But the other interesting producer is the US, in fact. Their production is up 10% this year to 9.35 million barrels per day,
wow,
which is pretty much close to what Saudi's producing these days.
That's very impressive.
Well, it's a lot
of production is,
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Exactly,
I mean, it's
going to,
no wonder this oil price is dropping and dropping.
Exactly. And I think that's also what's keeping the European markets down, because a lot of European listed companies are actually the energy companies. If you think about BP, Shell, Total,
So kind of those all coming under a bit of pressure and keeping European markets down. Financials were up on Friday. Banks were all okay, but Brait again disappointed. I honestly don't know what's wrong with the share anymore, because now I think it's just sentiment driven. You know, they put out their results a couple of weeks ago and it was okay. You know, nothing's changed. So I don't know why the share just keeps falling. If I wasn't knee deep in it, I probably would be buying some. But I'm just going to have to wait, because there's no point in selling now, is there?
Well, someone said to me here, has Stella Capital reached the bottom, talking about these things?
Well, so the funny thing about Stella, since Charles has left, or he hasn't left, he's still CEO, but since the announcement of his resignation, the share has actually bounced a little bit. So every day it's almost climbed, you know, another 1%. It's got a long way to claw out of the kind of
the
deep
hole
valley
that, it's in, yeah.
That it was in. Absolutely, yeah. So I think it was on 75 cents. It's now 83 cents. So slowly, slowly climbing back up.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see that carry on up. And then, of course, the one share we were all waiting for on Friday was Naspers. They put out their full year results on Friday. Headline earnings per share up 36%. This is a difficult one, actually, because there are different ways of measuring this. And if you take out the core, if you take out kind of Tencent, Mail.ru, those, then the results weren't spectacular. I mean, revenue was up only 12%. I say 12%, but they are generating $14.6 billion in revenue for the year, which is not terrible. I think the key features, what we expected, basically the sub-Saharan Africa pay TV not doing as great as we'd like it to do. In fact, they've had a couple of sessions now, a couple of reporting periods of not doing that well, but still the others doing exceptionally well. The other businesses, key features, well, Naspers are going to be issuing a bond to fund more acquisitions.
Wow. They really are buying up everything they can see that's valuable.
That they really are just getting into this tech and almost private equity business full steam ahead.
Well, it's the only way to stay ahead of your competition, right?
I would say, yeah. And but you want to be buying good things, right? You don't want to be buying
rubbish
and paying too much because you've got too much money. And that's the thing. When companies get that big, the one thing I believe they need to be careful of is overpaying for assets.
Yeah, correct.
So I read a sentence by Naspers. I wish I'd written it down, but I swear I almost couldn't understand it because the language they were using was so bizarre. They were talking about let go and wallahoo. And I was
what?
Like, what are all these things? There are so many companies in this little company now. So I'm trying to get my head around it.
It's still a good one to hold on to, and hopefully it'll get back to the levels it was at, 2,800 and so on.
So last traded 2,683 Rand a share on Friday. So a little way to go still before it gets back to 2,800. But I see a lot of investment banks who send out broker research, or kind of we call it broker research, or their research, are calling over 3,000 or closer to 3,500 Rand a share.
Wow. Now that would be spectacular.
Wouldn't it just?
Mm-hmm.
We need that.
Damn right.
But we need everything else to come online as well, because I really feel like we've made some really good picks, but this market really is just not helping us. Really, absolutely not helping us.
Well, you've got to ask the question in a market like this, where would you make good returns? And the problem is, with no political and economic stability, it's very, very hard to gauge. I mean, look at the Rand. Who would have guessed that the Rand would be at the rates that it is now, a year or two ago? Who would have thought that it would come to this? And who would have thought that oil would be where it is now, right?
Absolutely. It's a very difficult market at this time. Gareth, you asked the question I ask myself every single day. That's all I do, every single day.
Where will I get the most value?
Where will I get the most value? Absolutely. And I know for a fact that I'm likely to get the most value out of the banks because they are trading so cheaply. But actually, I can't risk it. Because if the government says anything wrong, we get downgraded. And if we get downgraded, our banks take a beating. I've been sitting on so much cash, and that's probably what saved us, actually. And I say saved us, we haven't not felt the pain of this 5.5% decline this month. I'll tell you that. But we've definitely performed better than the market overall because we're sitting in so much cash. And so we're in a few yielding instruments, cash, you know, interest yielding instruments, which is better than being in the banks, which if we got down, or the miners or
oy,
just
don't go
there's
near
so
that.
Many, you know.
What about Astral Foods?
Okay, so you might have seen on Thursday they were down 6%, and then on Friday they were up again just over 1%. They came out the other day saying that one of their farms in Villiersdorp had avian flu, bird flu, but they sent out a note on Friday telling the market. And the funny thing about this, I say they sent it out to the market, but they actually didn't. They only sent it out to investors. Well, I would have thought they'd put it on SENS, but they didn't. So.
Huh.
That actually the bird flu had been contained, and so that's not an issue. I believe there's a big drama in the EU at the moment with bird flu, but we haven't been subject to it. And also, it's not contagious to humans. I'm still not sure I want to eat chicken that's been infected with bird flu, but there you go.
Eh. You know, chicken's chicken. Tastes like chicken.
Well, there you go. So I think the fact that it's down 6% might have been a nice buying opportunity for Astral Foods,
mm-hmm.
just because it was probably overdone, and it's being contained now, so it's fine.
All right.
And then there's one other company that I've been reading quite a bit about lately, and they're not listed in the true sense of the word. They have holdings in various companies that are listed, or various companies that are listed have holdings in them, so kind of cross holdings, and that's ETV. Apparently,
right.
Johnny Copeland was saying that they've had 5 bids, or to buy the company, in other words, bids, in the last year. Now, he didn't say who they were, but there's a lot of speculation that Telkom was one of them, actually.
Really?
Absolutely. And it actually makes a lot of sense to me, because if you are a mobile operator or telephone business in this environment, you know it's not a growth industry anymore, right? It's had its day. You need to move on. You need to expand. You need to diversify.
Correct.
And also, content is the big thing. So surely you would make a bid for a content producer.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting. I can't tell you whether or not it's a good idea or bad idea from a pricing point of view, because as I say, they're not specifically listed. They're held within various listed companies and only small parts of it. So I'm not going to make an investment call on it. I just thought it was an interesting thing.
Well, let's keep an eye. I mean, would you, if you're looking for content, is ETV something that you'd be interested in?
Funny you ask me that. I was going to ask you that.
Well,
you're on that side of the fence.
Who watches ETV? I mean, what's on ETV at the moment? Have they still got softcore porn and wrestling? Because then, yes. Then that's a good buy. Does anyone watch ETV? I'm not talking about ENCA.
Tumbleweed through the studio.
Yeah, clearly no one in here watches. Amanda, do you watch it?
Not at all.
No. Okay, Ben, you haven't seen ETV, have you?
I think the wrestling is still there. The soft porn died a long time ago.
Okay.
There was talk of it coming back, but it never materialized.
You don't know anything about ETV?
I don't watch a lot of live TV these days.
Anybody who knows what's on that channel, because I don't know what their ratings are like, and ratings are everything if you're going to buy a media asset. So who knows?
Do you not think that someone like Telkom would take that and extrapolate or take out the content providing or content production?
Yeah, they would.
Is that not a possibility?
They would. And that would be a better move than doing what all the other stupid networks have done, which is try to bring content in-house, which nobody likes, because who wants to go to the networks for content?
Yeah.
The last thing you do, you wake up in the morning and go, I'd really like to watch a series or listen to some music. Ah! Let me hop onto MTN or Vodacom or Cell C. That's a good move. Please.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I think I'll be watching carefully, because I think there's obviously an interesting play going on there.
All right.
As I said, Asia much higher this morning, so hopefully we'll see a little bounce in our market, although this rand still quite strong, should keep a lid on that.
Okay. Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure.
Very good. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. It's now 4:07, cliffcentral.com, back on a Monday morning. I've got presents for everybody. Woo! Yeah, you can stay for the presents. Anthea was about to run out of here, and now she's going to stay. All right. Let's start with Sia.
Oh, are we doing them now?
Sia's going first.
Ready.
All right, Sia, I bought you a real millennial gift.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Can we guess first?
Okay, guess. Go on, guess. What do you think it is?
But you this also know me, so...
Sia's millennial gift. Ben, what do you reckon it
chocolate
is?
Chocolate cigarettes.
Chocolate
cigarettes. Chocolate cigarettes.
A mirror with lights around it.
Now, that would have been a great present, except that the ones of the appropriate size for you would not have been... you couldn't have brought them onto a plane.
Granted, yes, no. I get that.
So,
okay, guessing done.
Guessing is finished. Here's Sia's present. And the first of the presents to be handed out today.
A fidget spinner and its bedazzle.
Oh, that's
what you wanted too.
Now, I mean, these things, everybody's been talking about fidget spinners for how long, but
yes.
I've never seen so many of one particular kind of thing all over, everywhere, in every shop. Dope. So it's a bedazzled one.
Greg's going to hate that. Because Greg's the only one here that has one.
Oh, really? He's got one already?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Let's see. Mabale.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
I brought you something that will be more practical than beautiful, but here it is. A gigantic Berlin beer mug / shot glass, which can be used for the purposes of both.
With a bear on it.
A gigantic being the operative word, right? It's about the
just
size of a tonic glass.
It's like
glass.
Three shots. That's right. All right, and then Ben's one. I just need to take the price off of this one because I forgot it on. All right, Ben, your present is...
Also a fidget spinner, no.
No.
Oh, wow, Rick and Morty button badges.
Oh, that's cool.
And
that's
Amanda, amazing. Come in here and get your present.
There's a Rick badge with a little bit of vomit coming out.
Yeah, let me do this properly.
And
Amanda's the only one who, besides my buddy, got a little bit of actual memorabilia. A pair of clogs from Holland.
Oh, wow.
I think they might be a bit small for you to wear, but they, you know, they could work out quite well.
Maybe, just maybe.
All right. That's a great gift.
There we go. That's present time. When we come back, we'll check in on some news. We'll get to what's going on in the world. And we'll take your thoughts, your calls, your ideas, your messages. You know what to do. 0861-555-1889. I'm out of practice for a week. And then the WhatsApp number is 0797482090. That's where you can get us. For Ben, this is the price we pay for a test side. I think this is about the cricket. Selected on merit, our ODI and T20 sides must balance quotas. There is no way a guy like Behardin is there on merit. Daniel.
Sure, Daniel. It's... I like what where you're going with that. There's some good thought, but when white guys also play really, really badly, it's a battle with that as a sweeping statement.
All right. And then a lot of people saying that they're very excited about a brand new week. It is chilly, my God, compared to like the heat of Europe.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. This morning was particularly cold.
Yes, yes. And it was so warm over there. It was 32 degrees in Berlin. I even have a bit of a tan as a result of it. Yeah. So I'm not happy to be back in the cold, but I am happy to be home. You know, it's my favorite part of every journey, right? It is. My favorite thing about any trip is coming home. It sounds ridiculous, and people who love traveling don't understand that, but it is my favorite thing. All right, let's go. Everybody, get your day off to a good start. There's a little sting to warm you up on this chilly Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.